When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz on February Friday 18th. We had a pretty jam-packed hour one, some Dynasty Fantasy Football, some NHL, some best ball analysis of the current ADPs over there on Underdog, and we also have some Friday headlines. The NBA All-Star Weekend starts tonight. I always kind of enjoy the NBA All-Star game. You know, it kind of gets a bad rap, but I think they've done lots of things to make it more interesting. The draft that they did on Inside the NBA the other night was fairly entertaining. Butler and St. John's headlight tonight's college basketball slate. Round two of the Genesis Invitational is underway. Joaquin Neiman absolutely flamethrowing the course right now. Shot a 63 yesterday. He's 4 under par today. He is 3 strokes up on Cameron Young, who is 9 under par. Max Homa is 7 under par. Russell Knox is 6 under par. Sebastian Munoz, 5 under par. Adam Scott, Will Zalatoris, Scottie Scheffler, and Jordan Spieth are all 5 under par. Always, look, it's always good for the game of golf when Spieth is up there on the leaderboard. And we're actually, I'm going to talk a little bit about golf here in a second. And the Los Angeles Rams and Matt and Kelly Stafford are going to cover the hospital bills of the photographer who Matt Stafford very callously watched just fall off that stage. I mean, you know, in a different time, you know, without cell phone videos of everything, this would have been different. But that video is not great for Matt Stafford. I mean, he just watches that girl full on take a dive off of that platform, George. He did not cover himself in glory in that video.
No, that's a bad look. That's a bad look. And she hurt her spine. It was like an 8-foot drop. That's a bad look for Stafford. I mean, you see him, the photographer was taking a picture on, his wife's, Mrs. Stafford's cell phone. I guess she's backing up, and she backed up over the float and falls. You see Stafford go, pretty much give that look, you know, that, and then turns around and leaves, drinks a water. It's like, wow, way to go, Mr. Human Being. You don't want to check on her? I mean, just not a good look at all. I mean, I think he had to help pay the bills here just to save face here, right? Get the PR office back. Oh, yeah, we'll help pay our bills, make sure she gets new photography equipment and all that. But not a good look here by the Staffords at all. It did look like his wife actually went to go check on her. But even though some people are saying now that all she wanted was her phone back, because apparently that lady had her phone. I hope that's not true. I hope that's just people really diving into it here. But not a good look for the Staffords at all.
No, and you know what? Speaking of bad looks, I do want to take this time to publicly say I'm not in on the Saudi Arabian Gulf League. So for those who might not know, effectively the government of Saudi Arabia, they have this massive, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars of funding that they use for sports to basically create PR arms for the Saudi, for their businesses, their government, their country, and all of that. They buy these soccer teams. They own Manchester City. They just bought Newcastle. They own soccer teams all over the world. And they've had this idea to start a Saudi Arabian Golf League. And according to reports, Phil Mickelson is considering doing it. Bryson DeChambeau is considering doing it. And I have to say, Phil Mickelson's answers when asked about this last week were
bad. I mean, they were really bad. He basically, this is what he said. I know they're really bad people. I know that they kill journalists and they do all these things, but they're going to send me a really big check. That was really what Phil Mickelson said. And then and of course, welcome to everyone on radio here, Sports Grid TV, Sports Grid Radio, Davis Maddock, and George Kurtz with you here. And I thought it was interesting that John Rahm yesterday, after his round, you know, did his media availability, and he said, no chance, not going, not doing it for the money. I love golf. I love the PGA Tour. I'm with Jay Monahan. I'm not doing this, but very, very, very bad looks for Phil Mickelson and Bryson and Jason Kokrak is one of the other players doing it, but not good looks, George.
I think what bothers me the most, outside of his words, is just horrendous. I mean, can you please think before you speak? Is that, Phil, you don't need the money. You don't need the money. You're not going to spend any of this money anyway. So why would you want to do this? I would perfectly, you know, with someone like you or me, so, you know, starting out here.
Sure.
All right, fine. You got to take care of your family, right? Your family does come first, and I get that completely. You know, wouldn't bother me in the least. But for someone who's got millions upon millions, what are you doing? What are you doing here? That's what bothers me the most by far out of this. Once again, he put his foot in his mouth, didn't think, and really said some stupid, stupid stuff here. I'm not even a big guy. I like to play golf. I don't follow it at all. Certainly know who Phil Mickelson is. But to see this is like, wow. I mean, you know, his agent must be like, what are you doing? Why would you say stuff like that? I mean, it's not that hard to think before you speak, especially into a camera here. We have to do it every day, right, to make sure we don't say idiotic things. But just freaking dumb. It just bothers me once again that he didn't need the money. Doesn't need. He's never going to spend a dime of this. It'll all go in the bank. He'll never see it. He doesn't need it. You know. So just disappointing, to put it nicely.
Yeah. And you know what? I think you make a good point, Jason Kokrak. I sort of get it, right? You've been a good PGA Tour golf.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
But certainly you have not made generational wealth, you know, not wealth that your grandkids are going to be sending their grandkids to college with, right? That I understand that perspective, right? You have the chance to create generational wealth for your family. Guess what? Phil Mickelson is probably one of the 10 richest athletes in world history, based off all the things that he has been able to accomplish and all the, you know, all the endorsements and everything he's done. So not a good look for Mr. Mickelson, and we'll see. Guys, we are gonna go ahead and run into break here real quick on FST. See you back in just a moment here on Sports Grid TV.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz, and we are going to begin our coverage here of the NFL draft on Fantasy Sports Today. We had Pat Corain on earlier in the week to talk about some of these stud wide receivers coming in, but you know, the real intrigue in the NFL draft is oftentimes the quarterbacks. You know, even if the quarterbacks aren't really that good, right? Even if it's you know, Drew Lock and Geno Smith, the who could draft a quarterback conversations always for, you know, from February to April, these are going to be huge conversations. And, you know, we've already heard, oh, you know, teams really like Malik Willis. Oh, some teams really like Kenny Pickett. Matt Corral is the top quarterback of the class. You know, it did, there are a lot of different names being thrown out there. And there are also lots of teams who sort of need a quarterback right now in the NFL. And it's going to be very interesting to see who is going to fill those slots via free agency, who is going to fill them via trade, and who is going to try to take their franchise in a new direction via drafting a quarterback. So our first list of teams of who could draft a quarterback, these are the teams that need a quarterback, right? There is basically no way they head into the next season without a change in the quarterback room. So the Carolina Panthers, probably the most obvious one. They have needed a quarterback ever since Cam left the first time. They tried to bring him back. It didn't really work. The Washington Commanders tried to do Ryan Fitzpatrick. He got injured. Taylor Heinicke was not good enough for them. The Saints are, you know, they no longer have Drew Brees. Taysom Hill isn't the answer. Jameis Winston has a torn ACL. Trevor Siemian was below replacement level. The Steelers definitely need a quarterback. I cannot see them going into the season with Mason Rudolph. And then the Buccaneers just had Tom Brady retire. I believe the only quarterback who's under contract for them is Kyle Trask. But you have a Super Bowl roster, right? I mean, they won a Super Bowl 18 months ago. So, you know, it's time for them to find a quarterback. So which one of these teams do you think drafts a quarterback? Do you see any of them trading up?
Well, that's the question, right? This is a weird quarterback draft. In which case, I mean, once again, you go back to Todd McShay's mock draft. He does have four quarterbacks going in the first round, but none in the top 10. Now, I don't see that lasting. And what I mean by that is, yeah, you're not going to see quarterbacks go probably top five this year, right? There's just none that are worthy of that pick, but there are going to be teams that trade up to get one, right? Because it's a quarterback-driven league. Without one, you just can't win, not consistently. Now, there are some other quarterbacks, NFL quarterbacks, that are going to be moved around here. Winston will sign with somebody. You know, and I think it'll be one of these teams. I think it'll probably be with the Saints. He'll come back with the Saints. That would be my expectation. And maybe it's the Steelers. They some sense makes there. Other than that, I think every one of these teams might draft a quarterback. But the Panthers, the first one we're looking at here at six, I wonder if they'd be the team that would trade back. You know, maybe want to go to 9-10 and pick up something else here and then draft one of those quarterbacks. I think the Commanders, the Commies at 11, yeah, I think they're taking one. You know, I don't think they have a choice here. Now, I'm looking at, once again, McShay's draft here. He has them getting Kenny Pickett at 11. All right, I think that makes some sense. I don't know who the Commanders prefer here. If it's not Pickett, maybe it's Corral, maybe it's this guy, maybe it's that guy. But I think they are taking a quarterback there at 11. By the way, where's Deshaun Watson going? All right, I think we expect him to be traded by the draft. You know, I don't know how much he's going to get, how long he's going to be suspended for, what the those sexual allegations, that deposition comes Tuesday, I believe, the 22nd. So we'll see what bombshells come out of that. But I think he'll be traded by that. And I think if I had to guess, Dave, so which team he gets traded for, I think it's going to be Carolina. Yeah, I just think it'll be Carolina because there's a connection there with one of the coaches. I think Matt Rhule knows, if I don't win this year, I'm gone. Future draft picks don't mean anything anyway. I'm toast. So I got to win here. So I think that really throws an interesting wrinkle in this as well.
Yep, I think you are. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I all of these teams, so I think, you know, the Panthers, I don't know. I could see them trying to do the Darnold thing one more year. You know, maybe even ownership says, look, you're not trading a first-round pick, so maybe they have the framework in place, the GM does it, and maybe David Tepper says, you know what, Matt Rhule, you're not trading away my first round pick. Like your position is tenuous enough that we are not letting you trade that first round pick. The Commanders, you know, I don't know. I feel like they're maybe more likely of a destination for a veteran quarterback, but I definitely think the Saints, the Saints and the Steelers are the two that I look at this list and I say, you know what? They are drafting a quarterback, whether it be Pickett, whether it be Corral, whether it be Willis. I think that that's definitely in play. The jury is out on our next four teams. And it's sort of interesting because, you know, what you just referenced, which is that this is maybe a draft where a team has to trade up and one of these teams trades down, because we have the Lions with pick 2, the Texans with pick 3, the Giants with pick 6, and the Browns with pick 13. I think the Lions probably ride Jared Goff out another season. The Texans, I mean, really, at the end of the day, who knows what the Texans are going to do? Nothing inside of that organization has made one bit of sense the last year. They hired David Coley. They fire him. You know, the owner's son is calling shots, and he has no clue what's going on. They sign all these gross veterans, like just, you know, career special teamers. They have like 5 running backs under contract. It's all a mess there. Then the Giants, they have the 6th pick. But Brian Daboll and the front office and the ownership, they all say they have their quarterback. They say, you know, it's our bad for not putting Daniel Jones in a position to succeed, and we're going to try to succeed with Daniel Jones. And you can kind of squint and see it. Be like, oh, well, you know, Josh Allen was really bad as a rookie. Daboll figured him out. He can run a little bit. Josh Allen can run a little bit. Maybe Daboll sees some Josh Allen-esque traits in Daniel Jones. And then the Browns, I mean, I think everyone outside of Cleveland says that they need a new quarterback, but according to, I believe it was Rap Sheet who reported this, you know, the Mayfield and his agent sat down with the coaching staff in the front office and they said, we're going to hammer it out. We picked up your option. We're going to do it. You know, for you are our quarterback for this next season. So I could see the Browns being a team that trades back, right? So Malik Willis is on the clock when the Browns are there at 13. And they say, you know what, we're not taking him. Let's trade back. Let's pick up an extra 3rd-round pick or whatever for our troubles.
You know, the Giants are the one really interesting team here, because the Lions aren't taking a quarterback at 2. They're not. They don't trade back if they want to do that. But if Aiden Hutchinson's there at 2, I think they're going that direction. They'll take the guy who could transform their defense in one shot. I can see a job of Lions trading back into the 1st round, by the way. If some of these quarterbacks really slips and everyone's passing on them, you know, you think of what we've seen before or in other drafts here. But the Giants are the one interesting team because they have 2 picks, 5 and 7 here. Man, you're going to pass up a quarter. Do you really believe in Daniel Jones, or are you just saying this because he's on the roster? And, you know, we got to cover ourselves in case we don't draft the quarterback. Yeah, we believe in him. We'll know if the Giants are telling the truth about Daniel Jones. I forget when it exactly is, but there's a roster bonus that's due to him like a week or two after the season start, after the NFL 2022 season starts. If they pick it up, okay, they believe in him. If not, well, you know, they're going in a different direction here. So I'm very curious to see if they'll do this as far as just let it go here. I also wonder this when it comes to the Giants and other teams as well. You know, Davis, maybe they just don't like any of these quarterbacks and they don't think this is a year to take a quarterback. You know, if I got a top 10 pick, I ain't doing it. I don't believe in Pickett. I don't believe in Corral. I don't believe in this guy and that guy. I can see that being a problem as well. You know what? We'll wait till next year. I'm not spending a premium pick on a quarterback that I don't believe in. That's not, it's not even a top 10 player overall in the draft. I can see that being an issue at issue as well.
Yeah, and there are a couple other teams, you know, that are in play. Matt Ryan's going to be 35. The Falcons could do it. The Denver Broncos, I mean, who knows? That's actually the biggest mystery team in all of this, because Teddy Bridgewater is not under contract. Drew Lock sucks. The organization knows that he sucks. I mean, look, Drew Lock or Drew Lock's parents, if you're watching, I'm sorry. You are one of the 100 best quarterbacks in the world, but you're not one of the best 32. And the Broncos just have too much talent to let another year waste of all of these guys. You know, Sutton, Judy, Fant, Albert O. Like, you can't waste another year of those guys. The Colts, the Packers.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
I mean, the Packers taking a quarterback in the first round would be hilarious after taking one with Jordan Love when Aaron Rodgers was already on the roster. Guys, we are going to go into break here real quick on FST. And when we return, the long-awaited debut of Fantasy Baseball Chatter in 2022 here on FST. See you guys back in just a moment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz for some fantasy baseball talk. Look, we know that the season is not happening yet. We know that MLB and the Major League Baseball Players Association have yet to sit down in a room and have a conversation and iron out an agreement, but fantasy baseball leagues are drafting. I need to get, George, this is my spring training. I need to remember all the things that I learned doing the show with Craig last year. I need to remember who was good, who was bad, who's coming off of a career year, who's coming off of injury. And so you are gonna Sherpa me back into the world of fantasy baseball. So we have a little, a little segment here, ace or waste. So we're going to look at some guys who were good or bad starting pitchers last season and give our thoughts on them, beginning with Cleveland Guardians starting pitcher Shane Bieber entering into his age 27 season. Only pitched 96 innings last year, did have a lot of strikeouts, but had the highest walk rate of his career, 3.17 ERA, even got a little bit lucky. His expected ERA was 3.7. So, George, ace or waste, Shane Bieber.
This might depend upon your definition of ace. I don't think he's the same pitcher he was when he won his Cy Young. The team's not very good either, so wins could be tough. And wins may be discounted as far as Cy Young voting and everything else, but in fantasy, generally we want them. Not too many leagues are playing quality starts. So he comes off the injury last year. He did come back, so that's a good thing, but he didn't pitch very well. At least not Shane Bieber well. Now, look, I've done a couple of mock drafts here, and I did draft Shane Bieber as my ace in one league, but that's because it was a mock draft. I got caught the wrong end of a run. All right, so he ended up being a guy, great. He's my starting pitcher one, but it also forces me now to draft probably starting pitcher earlier than I wanted because he's not anywhere near as good as Cole, Burns, Scherzer, DeGrom, Ohtani, Bueller, and go on and on here. He's barely inside my top 10. So it means he's good, but I don't think he's the definition of an ace anymore, just very good. If he's your captain of your team as far as you're starting pitching, you probably want to cover yourself. You probably draft him in the second round. You probably want to take another pitcher in the fourth round, maybe even the third round, depending on how it works out here, just to make sure you're covered there. There was a time, probably 10 years ago, I would take one starting pitcher in the first four rounds, maybe two in the first five. That's changed now. I want to make sure pitching is so important in the game. The game has changed. You need your strikeouts. Everybody strikes out here. You need your whip here. You need your ERA. You need your ratios here. Pitching is important. Three of my first five picks now are generally starting pitchers. I can find hitting. Pitching is going to get real light at about the top 25, top 30 guys go. And then we're just rolling with dice, hoping you hit the right guy year in and year out.
Yeah. No, you make, I think, a very good point there with Bieber and just with starting pitching in general, that if Shane Bieber is your top starting pitcher, probably a good idea to dip back in single-digit rounds, right? Maybe three of your top 10 selections are starting pitchers, whereas if you do get DeGrom, Cole, Corbin Burns, maybe you can just be two starting pitchers, or maybe you can spend a premium pick on a reliever. Our next guy, now George, funnily enough, you and I never did a show during the baseball season, right? It just didn't work out that we were ever lined up to do programming together during fantasy baseball drafting season. So you don't even know that Robbie Ray is like my guy, that I spent all of last offseason telling Craig, look, if Robbie Ray gets the walks under control, he is going to be a dominant starting pitcher, because Robbie Ray has had double-digit strikeouts per nine every year of his career since 2016. His problem has always been he just can't not walk guys. He just always would be walking guys like crazy. He had one of the worst K-minus walk rates in baseball. Now, he did get very lucky last season, a 90% strand rate, which has a big impact on his ERA indicators, but he did fix the walks. He even fixed the home runs to a certain extent. I am all the way in on Robbie Ray this season, and I don't even care that he's playing for a bad team in the Seattle Mariners. I guess they were even a little bit better than expected last season.
Yeah, I don't think I would call the Mariners a bad team. I would call them an okay team. I don't think they're an okay team. Are they the Blue Jays? No. I think the Blue Jays might be one of the really, really good teams, the way they built there. Now, going to play a little game here. Now, I like Robbie Ray. As a Yankee fan, I wanted the Yankees to acquire when they had the chance. Lefty in Yankee Stadium, the way he throws the ball. Absolutely. You're right. He didn't always know where the ball was going. You know, and that was a problem. Seems to have fixed it. The good news is, he gets the hell out of Sky Dome, or whatever they call that, Rogers Center now, where that's Coors Field in the American League, the way the ball flies out of that ballpark. So that's good news. All right? And going to Seattle, that's a pitcher's park. Good news. Does it worry anybody? Yeah. Anyone that the Blue Jays didn't even try to re-sign him? They signed Kevin Gausman, a failure in the American League East before. You know, very similar pitchers here. I mean, when I saw them, I'm like, why don't they want Ray back? Now, it could be a personality conflict and have nothing to do with anything else, and we've seen that before. They didn't like him. He wasn't good in the clubhouse, whatever. Not that I've heard anything like that, but it could be that. But when they didn't even bother trying to re-sign him for a guy who had a magnificent season, proved he could pitch in the American League East, this raised some red flags for me. What's going on? What do they know that we don't? So that's one thing I would think about there. That being said, yeah, I want Robbie Ray as well. I'll take the chance here. But it's in the back of my mind. Boy, why did the Jays try and re-sign the guy?
Well, I mean, one of my guesses would be he wanted the bag thrown at him, and they might have known that, right? The Blue Jays might have known.
Gausman signed Ray the same amount. Same amount.
Then I'm wrong.
And I'd rather have Ray. Wrong.
Yeah, oh, I would definitely rather. I mean, just the fact that those guys are similar skill levels. One of them is a left-hander. One of them is a right-hander. I mean, a good left-handed starting pitcher in Major League Baseball is pretty much worth their weight in gold, but also, maybe they're the team that has the intel. Maybe they're worried about a potential injury. Maybe they think that the league is going to kind of catch up to whatever it was that Ray did differently last season that allowed him to not walk guys. You know, the walking problem could come back, you know, just overnight with him if guys got a little bit more patient. Our final guy here is Joe Musgrove, who started out last season looking like, I mean, just an absolute Cy Young candidate, right? I mean, he was blowing guys down. You know, he had the no-hitter. I mean, he was really, really unbelievable for the Padres to start the year. And then it got bad towards the end of the season. He was much closer to a league average starting pitcher. And in the end, his numbers did look pretty good. 181 innings, 10K per nine, 3.18 ERA, didn't give up a ton of home runs. And as you'd expect, you know, pitching in that ballpark, pitching in the NL West, he's not going to give up a ton of home runs. But, you know, are you concerned about his slide in the second half of the season?
Yeah. And I think he's the kind of guy who's going to go harder than he should, because people are going to remember the no-hitter that you brought up, you know, the first ever one for the San Diego Padres. Fantastic. For where his draft slot's going to be, I'm not going to take him. You know, I'm just not. As I said, once you get out of the top 20 pitchers, 25, there are a lot of guys that are all alike. And I like Musgrove. I wouldn't mind having him, but I'm not dying to get him. He's not an ace, you know, so in that case, he's a waste, if that's what we're going by here. He's, for fantasy, really an SP3 is really where you want him. You know, if you have him as an SP2, then as you said earlier, you better have one of the top guys, a Walker Buehler, Corbin Burns, whatever it might be. And then I'm okay with that. But really, if you want to set your team up right, he's an SP3. I think he'll do the same thing next season. You know, as the season goes on, he'll wear down a little bit. This is not the next coming of anything. He's not going to be a Cy Young Award winner. I like Musgrove. He's SP3 in fantasy. He's fine. Whereas that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at an ace who your team can ride on. No, he's not that guy.
So in general, you know, the starting pitching landscape, is it very similar to how it was last year where, you know, any starting pitcher who has a chance to carve out, you know, 170 innings of 3.2 ERA? Like, I have not done a fantasy baseball draft yet this offseason, but is it similar to last year where all of the starting pitchers are just getting way, way, way pushed up?
Yes. Yes, it is. I can tell you that. I said I've done a bunch of mock drafts, and the starting pitch is flying off the boards. Flying off the board. Because, once again, people believe they can find the offense later. Starting pitching is rough. I'd also be worried about this. You know, Lord knows I keep complaining about, they're not going to have a full spring training. All right, whenever they figure out this lockout, and I think they will figure it out eventually, we're not getting 6 weeks of spring training. You're getting four at most, maybe even three, which means you're going to have injuries. You're going to have pitcher injuries because they're not going to be ready to pitch. All right, so you're going to want to cover yourself there as well and make sure your reserve spots are starting pitchers. You know, guys who can slide in there. I think we're going to have injuries. I think we're going to have managers or teams very much watching how many pitches are thrown by their pitchers, by their ace pitchers or their younger pitchers, to make sure they don't tax those arms. It wouldn't shock me if we have more TJ surgeries this year for guys who just aren't ready to ramp it up and go from, you know, 0 to 60 in like 3.8 seconds, or in this case, 3 to 4 weeks, when they would usually get six. I'm worried about all of this, Davis. So yeah, I'll be going starting pitching heavy in most drafts.
Yeah, which is, you know, sort of generally what has been accepted as the correct strategy to use. And there are, you know, it's kind of interesting. There are some parallels between the fade starting pitcher out of the gate strategy and the zero running back strategy in fantasy football, where, you know, you kind of don't take your running backs until later on. However, I actually, between the two, I find the zero starting pitcher strategy way less palatable in fantasy baseball than the zero running back strategy in fantasy baseball, because you're definitely not finding Elijah Mitchell on the waiver wire in fantasy baseball. It's just not the way it works. I mean, the standard league size is 15 teams anyway. The rosters are deep. And that's just like, you know, one starting pitcher injury does not mean that all of a sudden there's going to be a Robbie Ray that you can pick up for free off the waiver wire. So I'm with you. I do like hammering starting pitching early. Everyone, we're going to run into break here real quick on FST. When we return, Fantasy or Reality with producer Brett Levy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Before we get to Fantasy or Reality, I need to remind everyone to please be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. You can also follow Sports Grid on Instagram as well. You are going to get highlights from all the shows here on the network, Fantasy Sports Today, In Game Live, Pharrell Coast to Coast, all the injury news, notes, highlights, analysis, best bets, all of the sports wagering content. Here on the network, we are going to do our best to give you guys profitable and entertaining advice here on the network, and you'll be able to get all of that on our social media feed. So make sure that you are following at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. And now we are going to be joined by our producer, Brett Levy, as we play a little game we call Fantasy or Reality.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to start off in tennis today because big news out of the tennis world yesterday is Novak Djokovic said in an interview that he is going to not play in any major tournament that requires a vaccination mandate. Obviously, he's unvaxxed, and there was the whole debacle at the Australian Open. So, George, we'll start with you for this one. Novak Djokovic won't win another major in his career. He is done winning majors. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Hey, this guy's sort of a fool in some ways, right? Not only will I want to get vaxxed, but he was flaunting the rules, going from country to country when he wasn't supposed to, and he lied about it on the application, I guess, to play in the Australian Open. Oh, no, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do those video of him in other countries. Like, what are you doing? You know, I mean, I don't feel bad for him at all. As you don't want to get vaxxed, don't get vaxxed. But to lie about it, you know, then you get what you deserve here. As far as this is concerned, I think eventually karma heads will prevail. He's one of the best players, not the best player in the world here. To say he's never going to win another major, I mean, maybe next year, 23, you don't have to be vaxxed. You know, so then he will be able to play. It's not like this is a so-so player where he may not win one anyway. Any tournament that he was playing in, he had a pretty good shot to win it here. So he's not all that old. So I'm going to say this is a fantasy. I think he will win another one. Maybe not this year, but you didn't say that. You said career, not year. So maybe not this year, but in his career, I'll say this is a fantasy that he still wins at least one more. He may win several more.
Well, it's very close. So Joker is 34 years old. Now, I don't think that the vaccine requirements for these tournaments will persist forever. Or if they do persist forever, then I think that he will kind of look at the situation and be like, well, I guess maybe I should. But basically, my thought would be either the vaccine requirements will go or Djokovic will get vaccinated. One of those two things seems likely to happen maybe over the next year or so. You know, like I think I am hoping that we are heading to a place in the world where, you know, the novel coronavirus is not going to be impacting every aspect of our lives. That would be a future I would like to live in. But Djokovic is 34 years old. The oldest Grand Slam winner ever was Ken Rosewall, who won when he was 37 years old. That was all the way back in 1972. Roger Federer won one at 36 years old. Serena Williams on the female side won at 35 year olds, and Andres Jimeno won one at 34 years old. So Joker is already close to being one of the oldest people to win a Grand Slam winner. He would be the third oldest man, the fourth oldest man to ever win one if he won one this year. Next year would make him the second oldest, and the year after that would make him the oldest person to ever win a Grand Slam. So the timeline gets kind of tricky there. However, you know, obviously, you know, we talked about this with football the whole show, but, you know, medical advancements are way better. I'm sure Djokovic has the absolute best trainers. He's got his diet down to a T. He knows exactly how to rehab, how to take care of every muscle in his body. So I'm going to say fantasy as well. He will win another major in his career, and he might become the oldest major championship Grand Slam winner in tennis history, which would be kind of cool. So I'm going to say fantasy as well.
All right. Well, more news out of the NFL as the Aaron Rodgers saga continues. The Green Bay Packers have hired or brought back one of Aaron Rodgers' favorite coaches as the new quarterback coach for the Packers. I believe the previous quarterback coach went with Nate Hackett to the Denver Broncos. So, Davis, on top of all the stuff last year and bringing back his favorite coach and giving him some, say and some personnel decisions and anything else that you can think of, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. The Green Bay Packers have done enough to keep Aaron Rodgers. Is this a fantasy or reality?
At the end of the day, I don't think they have, because their cap situation is just so screwed. I don't see how they re-sign all their key defensive players, make Davante Adams the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, and give Aaron Rodgers, you know, whatever he wants, $45, $50 million. Look, if Derek Carr is asking for $40 million a year this offseason, Aaron Rodgers is going to want $50, right? He said, I'm $10 million a year better than Derek Carr. And he'd be right, by the way. But really, at the end of the day, it does just seem like he doesn't want to be there, and that all these dynasties have to come to an end, mostly due to salary cap machinations. You know, the way that the NFL salary cap works is it punishes you for paying guys past their prime. So when you give a guy who's 28 years old a big fat contract, well, it really comes back to bite you on the back end. And I mean, that's really the way salary caps are intended to work. because the idea with salary caps is you want the league to be fairly even. And that was something we really learned about the NFL this last season, where it basically felt like there were no good teams in the NFL. You know, the Rams had some blowout losses. The Bengals were a pretty average regular season team. The Chiefs looked bad. The Buccaneers looked bad. The 49ers were like out of the playoff race for a while. They end up making the NFC Conference Championship game. Like, there were just kind of no good teams in the NFL. And that's what the NFL wants, by the way. That is the whole purpose of the salary cap. The NFL wants 32 teams to head into the season and for pretty much all those teams to feel like they have a chance to win a championship. So I'm going to say fantasy. I'm going to say fantasy because it was an impossible situation for the Packers. I don't think there's any permutation of things they could have done to make it the best and most ideal scenario for Rodgers to come back.
Did you know that he just broke up with his fiance / girlfriend? It's tough to be Aaron Rodgers right now. Just tough to be Aaron Rodgers. This is a tough one. I mean, if you would have asked me 4 months ago, I thought, yeah, he's leaving. And then, okay, I think he's staying. And now I'm not so sure again. You know, the way this question is answered, is asked, by the way, is have the Packers done enough? Don't say, is Aaron Rodgers going to stay? Is have they done enough? By that definition, probably not. That being said, I think for Aaron Rodgers, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go that's better than Green Bay? All right. I don't see Green Bay trading you within the NFC. You know, some people have mentioned San Fran. I don't see that happening. You know, then you got to worry about playing him. I don't know if Green Bay plays San Fran this year on the schedule, but you might have to play him in the playoffs, and that's not going to be fun. You know, trading him to Denver, that would make a lot of sense. You know, I can certainly see that here. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm like, you know what? If I stay here, I'll get my contract. And I'm not worried about the salary cap. They'll figure that out. They always do. I'll get my contract. I'll make all the money here. And I know I'm winning the division. All right, Lions and Bears aren't there. You know, Vikings could be there, but you know, we seem to always take care of them. What's the worst case scenario? You're a wild card team. You go to a team like Denver, you got to worry about Mahomes, Herbert, and your own division. And then you get out of those, you got to worry about Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. Even Tennessee's a really good team. The NFC is wide open for you to take for probably a couple of years. Really, who are the best teams in the NFC? That's a powerhouse. Rams, they don't have another number one pick now until 2050. You know, and they're gonna have some. What about a team with salary cap issues? The Rams are gonna have some problems as well. No Brady in Tampa Bay. That whole division's a mess. You know, the Cowboys can't get out of their own way. They're losing the wild card round, divisional round at best every year. So I mean, grass is not always greener here. I don't think he's gonna leave Green Bay. But for that reason here, I just don't think he's going to realize, you know what, maybe I should just stay here. You know, I can keep winning, going to go to the playoffs easy. I'm not saying this is a guarantee by any means, by the way, because I wouldn't shock me at all if I find out tomorrow he was traded to whoever. Yeah, it wouldn't shock me in the least here. But the question is, have the Packers done enough? Probably not. Probably not what Aaron Rodgers wants. So I could say, according to that question, I would say fantasy. But if the question is he going to stay in Green Bay? Right now, I'll say reality. So it depends on how you want to read that question for me. Have they done enough? I don't think so. To really placate him? No, because then we'd hear him say, all right, I'm staying. I'm happy here. So according to the way the question is written there, Mr. Levy, I'll say fantasy.
Fair enough, George. And yeah, we're not asking if he's going to stay. We're asking if the Packers did everything they could to keep him. And you said, hell no. So that is fine by me. Our last question, George, is Disney has announced they're going to start making communities for people to live in. I guess they did this in 1996. They did one in Florida, a town called Celebration, which is very near Disney World. And now they're going to put one in what they're calling the Coachella Valley out in California. And you can see a picture of what's been submitted up there. So, George, we'll start with you. You would be interested in living in a Disney-owned community. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I'm 52 years old. My kids are 15 and 11. This is probably not... I mean, I do see myself moving to a warmer climate probably when my kids are out of school. So you're talking a decade. So... this might be different if that my kids were younger and I was going to move with them. Might be interesting to move to a Disney-themed community, whatever that means, by the way. I do want to go to a warmer climate, so I guess that's a possibility. But I don't see my wife and I doing this in our 60s. I just don't see that happening. So, no. I don't think I'm interested at this point in my life. If I was younger, this might be different with younger kids. It might be more interesting. It depends on what's going to go on there as far as Disney is concerned. I mean, is Mickey Mouse going to come deliver my mail every day? You know, is, you know, Pluto going to pick up my garbage? What's going on? Yeah, how exactly, what are the perks here? Other than the fact that it's a Disney-owned community. So I'd like to know, like, get free tickets to the theme park? Is that what's going on? You know, so we'll see here. But no, I don't see myself living in a Disney-owned community fantasy.
Yeah, not interested in this at all. Not a Disney guy. Never been to Disneyland. Never been to Disney World. Don't really get it. I mean, I get like, you know, you go ride the rides or whatever. I'd like to go see the Star Wars thing that they have there. I think it's the one in Florida. That'd be cool. You know, Galaxy's Edge or Galaxy's End or whatever. I mean, that would be fun, but not one of these people that gets super into it. I know some people who are, you know, whatever, good for them. But you have to feel like it'd be very expensive to live there, because there would be lots of people who'd be like, oh my gosh, yeah, Disneyland, Disney World, whatever. It's the best. I'll pay, you know, 200% over market for something of this square footage in this area. And just in general, planned communities with, like, you know, the HOA and all of the subdivision rules and everything. Not really that into it. There's actually a great X-Files episode about planned communities. If anyone is into watching old 90s television, the X-Files does have a great planned communities episode, which is very interesting. Much more into the X-Files than I am into Disney, but we're going to go ahead and run into a break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. And as always, we end hour two with Sports Grid 60, Davis Matt and George Kurtz. See you back for that in just a moment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Matic, joined by George Kurtz. And as always, we end our show with a little something we like to call the Sports Grid 60.
All right. All week long on this show, I've been complaining about the negotiations between Major League Baseball owners and the Players Association. And, you know, the economic issues are the economic issues. But one thing I think they're really going to screw up here, because they're not going to fix the product on the field. And baseball does need to be fixed. All right. It is the three true outcomes: home run, walk, strikeout. That's all we get here. We need to have more balls put in play, and we need the game to get faster. I'm a proponent of pitch clocks. Get the ball, throw the ball. You don't need to wait, you know, 2 minutes to throw a pitch. You know, 20, 22 seconds, throw the ball. Let's go here. One thing I think all sports need to take into effect, Davis, and they really haven't, is how much bigger human beings are nowadays than when all these sports set the original rules here or the original playing dimensions. You know, 60 feet, 6 inches, it probably should be 62 feet now, maybe even more. This way, these fastballs, the batters have a little time here to, you know, make a jump here, put the ball in play. I believe in football, you want to stop these hard hits and the concussions, make the field bigger, so that not all these players are condensed in a small area here. Hockey, same thing. Make the ice surface bigger. I think that would solve some of your concussion problems.
Yep, I think you are probably right. So a little interesting thing just came across my desk during the show. It was reported that apparently Patrick Mahomes sat down with his fiance Brittany and his brother Jackson and told them, you know, you guys are really annoying, and I don't want you to come to games anymore. And I have to say, I do have a little trouble believing this report. And, I mean, I get where it's coming from, of course, but I have trouble believing this report, because imagine, George, or whoever's listening to this, imagine having this conversation with your fiance or your wife and telling them, you know what, actually, you're really annoying, and I don't want you to come to the games. I can't imagine that things felt very peaceful in the Mahomes household. There we go, everyone. We're getting out of here. Good luck with your weekend wagers. See you next time.